Mr. Chair, Representative Stein, maybe what I should do on Section 1 of the bill, that establishes the operating account for the general fund. Sections 2 through 35 starts the fee standardization, and we begin with Chapter 58, which is the professional corporation, 60 would be the business corporation.
That's what I want to get at.
And.
58 is, let's just go through this. Section 2 is Chapter 58, and that's the professional corporation, right?
That's correct.
Section 3 is Chapter 60, what's Chapter?
Chapter 60 would be business corporations.
Okay. And then Section 4, what's this? Chapter 62.
62 relates to cooperatives.
And then Section 5 are nonprofits, I figured out from looking at the fees.
That's correct.
And then the rest of them that you can sort of figure it out, the limited partnerships, condos, trusts.
We have fraternal insignias and union labels, trademarks.
Which section?
I believe that's, limited partnerships would be Chapter 70. Trademarks would be Chapter 648.
Which section are we in?
Section.
That's Section 24. That looks like assumed business names to me.
That's correct, Representative Stein. Section 24 relates to trademarks.
Trademarks and assumed business names?
Assumed business names. Chapter 647 would be trademarks. And or is 554 irrigation districts.
I noticed, excuse me, one more question, Madam Chair.
Representative Stein.
We're here. In Section 5, you reduced a fee there for the application for a registered name. Is this because you found that this was out of sync with other states or something?
Representative Stein, are you on page 5?
Yeah, page 5. Line sort of between 20 and 21, you have application for registered name is 200, deleted, then down between 41 and 42, or 40 and 41, no, 41 and 42, down to $100.
Yes, we did reduce that, and that's for a foreign corporation. When we apply the standardization, Representative Stein, we have cases where some of the fees may have gone up and some have decreased, and then there are some new fees. So we have some of everything in here.
Representative Nato, did you have a question?
I guess I'm just trying to piece this thing together. How much of your, do you pay for your entire corporate division with these filing fees?
Mr. Chair, Representative Nato, my budget is from general funds, and then we have a limitation that we use from our automation account. So my total budget comes from two sources.
Mr. Chair, I guess what I'm concerned about here is that we take from the general fund to fund your budget, and then now we're setting up these fees to send back to the general fund. And, you know, it seems like if we want to increase the fees to cover the whole corporate division, that might make some sense. So I guess maybe I just don't.
anyway, never mind, just a statement.
Well, to continue with that, it looks to me like you're raising just about $2 million for the general fund.
That's correct, Mr. Chair.
Did, why is the Secretary of State's office being so generous with this?
Oh, Mr. Chair.
Let's pay for premiums.
Let me assure you, Secretary of State does not see that as its money. It's the taxpayers' money or the fee payers' money in this case. Process of going through and standardizing the fees yielded in the first go-through, as I understand it, prior to my arrival, yielded a larger increase than that. And the exercise we went through was to lower that, do the standardization, and to lower that, and to indeed place the corporation's division completely fund that with the fees. And the byproduct going through that, giving us the standard fees and placing us in relation to the other states in this area, and I think we're still lower, yielded that increase in revenue. Even prior to this time, the fees collected by the corporation's division had a positive effect on the general fund, even prior to this change.
Looks like one of these nickel and dime increases to me.
Mr. Chair, I think it's, for me, it's the issue of the continuation of the surcharge when it's not needed. And I guess when I go home and talk to people, they would like to be able to believe in their government. And I'm not picking on you or Phil or anyway, we're seeing this across the map. And I just have real troubles with this bill when we're going to make permanent another temporary surcharge that was put on the books to accomplish a purpose that's been accomplished. The surcharge ought to go away. And it just strikes me as a violation of a in effect, a commitment to whoever's been paying that, who probably at the time wrote letters and said, we'd like you to get automated. I don't know what they did, but this isn't the first one of these that we've seen come across. It's $1.7 million.
Well, they did, and they did have the support of the industry and for the surcharge to get the equipment and modernized down there. Okay, for the comments, for the questions. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else to testify on House Bill or Senate Bill 454?
Public hearing in Boston.
Okay, we'll close the public hearing and open a work session on Senate Bill 454. Members, this bill has been to Ways and Means already, and I thought it had gone to the full Senate, actually, but I don't see that.
Yeah, it has been voted on.
It has gone through
has
the Senate.
Yeah, it has. Senate amendments stated.
Yeah, so if we don't make any changes, then it'll go to the floor directly. If we do, it'll go back to Ways and Means.
Mr. Chair.
Yeah, Jerry.
When the bill, when we just got this the other day, that does, the bill came with the subsequent referral.
Oh, it did?
To Ways and Means. If you'd like, I could check with John Latimer.
Well, that's all right. If we move it out, we can do it with a subsequent referral, and they can send it on its way if they don't make any subsequent changes to it, I suppose. Representative Stein?
Yeah, can I ask one more question of the Secretary of State's office that may help with Representative Walden's question? Because I hear
Mike,
what he's saying, too.
Jan, do you want to come back, please?
Thank you. It's, my impression, and I don't have time to, you know, match up all these fees and see how they all change and stuff, but that you went through and you were looking at this to see what the fee should be compared to what other states had, et cetera. Now, the thing with the surcharge, did you add that on top of what you figured should be the reasonable fee, or are we kind of just rolling everything together now, and the surcharge is essentially being eliminated by the fact that you've rethought the whole fee schedule? Or did you, like, figure it out, and then you say, okay, and we still have the surcharge, so let's plop the surcharge on?
Mr. Chair, Representative Stein, we have the statutory fee, and we tack on the surcharge. In most cases, what we've done is just combine the two. Just move the surcharge.
But then you change the fees.
And what we did when we standardized, we went through each of the chapters and tried to make all the original filings, the articles of incorporation, all one fee, $40, all the way down. And amendments or any other supplemental fee to be the same. So in some cases, limited partnerships that had $110 for original articles were reduced from $110 to $40. And in the case of nonprofits, those were $10 and they went to $40.
So you would have reached the same effect if you said, we're going to just sunset the surcharge and we're going to go through the statutes and figure and standardize these fees.
Representative Stein, if we did away with the surcharge, it just means $1.7 million less that now goes to the general fund. We are not keeping that money for our own purposes.
No, I understand that. So you did add it on then, in a sense,
yes.
To what after... But how could, I mean, it seems like since you changed everything, what, I don't quite get how you, like, what you added it on to. Mike, are you getting what I'm after?
Mr. Chairman,
I mean, I may be wrong.
I think that if, again, I was, this process happened, and I've learned about it the same way you are. And, and my understanding that if we had gone ahead and standardized and then cranked in the fee charge, we would have unstandardized the fees again. And that for the user of the fees, if I'm going to come in and pay a fee, I've got to figure out what chapter I'm in, and then I got to figure out how much that is, and then I got to figure out how much the surcharge is. And, you know, just, hey, tell me how much it is. And I think that's a response to that. So my understanding of the process is that there's a standardization. The beginning assumption, I think it's fair to say, was that part of the fee was the surcharge. I think that's a fair thing to say.
So we are continuing the surcharge in a
that
sense.
That was start of the beginning assumption, and then we went from there to let's standardize it, and then from there let's compare it to what other states are doing. And I might add, I think it's interesting, maybe not. We also did some sampling of the service, what you get for that fee, and we called and asking for various information, and for your money, you get the most here in Oregon. So, and we think that's part of why we have support for the fee change. So that's my understanding. Did I get it?
Mm-hmm. I don't know if that helped or not, but...
Well, my question would be, did the bankers know that $8 million is going to go into the general fund for all this good support they're given? You don't need to answer that.
Mm-hmm. You sold the service. You give good service.
I would doubt it, Mr. Chair.
And it's a reasonable cost, is what it
yes.
sounds like. They're
right.
getting a good deal for a reasonable cost. So depending on what you want to call it.
Well, it kind of gets back to why buy something on sale when you can pay full price. You know, we're paying more than we need to get the service, and the state tax fund benefits. And I don't know about, you know, how you run a household budget, but if I can get it on sale, I'm not going to wait till the sale's over to go pay full price.
Okay, further questions? Thank you again. Okay, we are in work session.
What do we do now?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Lawrence?
I I sort of feel the way Representative Alden did. I'm not sure I like the idea of using the Secretary of State's office as a profit center for state government. That disturbs me a little bit. I think if we're going to be honest with the people, and if we don't need a tax or surcharge, we should cancel it out and then get back to where they're actually paying their share of the cost for a service. Mm-hmm. And it looks to me like we're tacking on a little fringe benefit for state government. And that bothers me a little bit. It sort of goes against the whole scheme of things.
Yeah. Further comments?
Well, frankly, I think people are getting a good bargain for what's going on right now. And this is anticipated in the general fund in the governor's budget. This could come out of prenatal care for kids or maternal and child health or immunizations. And at this point, I'm not willing to say, well, let's give up another $8 million. We don't have it to spare. So I'm willing to go along with this. When we have a little bit more money, then I can talk about reducing this and going on sale. But this is not a time for the government to be putting things on sale.
Well, there is enough money here to pay for at least three of the vice presidents down at Oregon State.
That's right. There are some press secretaries in the governor's office or, you know, whatever you
How
want
How about
to
we earmark this for prenatal care? That would be all right with me. Or I could use this
new... Well, I go along with that. I mean, I'm tired. I don't want to go up the hill on fee increases if I don't know that it's going for something that I care about. On the other hand, there are a lot of things I care about that are getting cut dramatically in this budget, and I'll go up the hill on a fee increase, but I'd sure like to know that it's going to something that I really care about, and, you know, maybe members of the committee would concur with that.
I think we have the same problem they do downstairs. You can't dedicate it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Something
I don't
your
think
favorite
you can do
project.
We have to somehow trust and advocate with the Ways and Means Committee to spend the money, right? I mean, the way we get rid of the high price whatever is, if that's what it is
yeah.
to deal with it there. I'd like to have a little bit more money in the pot so that we could talk about bringing back some things. So I guess I'm willing to vote this back to Ways and Means and say, okay, we'll go on sale later.
Yeah,
that's what it is. I'm also not convinced that my analysis of when they standardized the fees, they didn't figure out what a standard fee is, and that the whole issue of the surcharge is kind of a moot point now. It is true we're making money from that, and that's another question, but I think the surcharge question is kind of less
Well, I suppose
you
could also say that the general increases were so great that we didn't need the surcharge anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of a perverse argument. Are there comments? What's the pleasure of the committee? Representative Stein?
Yeah, I'd move this to Ways and Means of the Ducasse recommendation.
Okay, Representative Stein moves Senate Bill 454 be engrossed to the floor with the Ducasse recommendation and subsequent referral to Ways and Means. Further discussion?
Excuse me, why is it going back to Ways and Means? That's
a good question.
Good question. Nobody seems to understand the process very well. And we have had several very authoritative people discuss this with us. And Mike?
Maybe a former administrator in this body can tell us.
Mr. Chair, for the record, Mike Greenfield, it is impossible for Ways and Means to pass our budget, to work on our budget, until they get the bill. It's part and parcel of the Secretary of State budget.
Okay. Now, Mr. Chair, let me ask Mike a question. Mike, the question I ask is, does this cover the cost of doing business in the corporation division, the filing? And the answer I got is yes. But yet, we're still generating a profit. What's the mechanics of it?
Mr. Chair, Representative Barnes, I think for years the fees for the corporations division have more than covered the cost of the operation of the corporations division. There was a process that happened where a certain amount of revenue was reflected and a general fund allocation was made, and the revenue which was reflected was more than the general fund allocation to the division. It costs less to provide the service than the fees generate. Is that, have I gotten to it?
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, I'm going to reluctantly vote for this because I, not just now, but I've had a feeling for a long time that the, and I've dealt with the corporation division, and I think they're pretty well organized, and I think they do things business-like, at least it's my impression. I'm going to vote for your motion, but I'm still not too comfortable.
Further discussion? Clerk, will call the roll.
Representative Walden.
Aye.
Nato.
Aye.
Oakley. Stein.
Aye.
Walden.
No.
Reichen.
Aye.
Mr. Chair.
Aye, motion passes. Okay, members, we're going to open a work session on Senate Bill 41. This is the shorthand reporter's bill. After that, we're going to hear a considerable number of fairly simple Senate bills dealing with the Treasurer's Office. We have to be out of the room by 4:45. Not that we want to stay here that long anyway, but...
Thank you.
But, so I'd encourage you just to take a break, perhaps, you know, whatever you want. And I don't think we'll actually break, however, we have a formal break. So just, if you need to take a short break, go ahead and do it. Okay, we will open a work session on Senate Bill 41. Terry, what was the question here on this bill?
Mr. Chair, when we first heard the bill, the question arose as to whether or not there was a sunset requirement with this bill. And briefly, let me just explain that what the bill does is the biennial registration fee for the shorthand reporters, or court reporters, they pay to the Bureau of Labor is increased from not being more than $50 to not being more than $100. And again, I said the question arose as to whether or not there is a sunset required on this bill. I looked into that, and there is no sunset with the bill. I do want to point out this bill does have a subsequent referral to Ways and Means with it.
Okay. Members, I made myself a note to write a letter to the Speaker before we adjourn, actually, and suggest that we look at all of these licensing bills, too, and registration bills for also, to determine whether we ought to have a sunset on them or not. And I would think that probably we would, just as because this is the next step from a board. We sunset boards because we think that there may not be a reason for the function. And I would think that the same thing would apply to a function, even though they don't have the title of a board, where we're doing much the same thing. And so I will ask this to be one of the interim items that we deal with.
I concur.
Mr. Chair.
Representative.
I don't know if it's worth it or not, but it occurred to me as we were listening to these that there may be some room for investigating if we should standardize some of these things. I mean, it seems like,
yes,
like this whole question we heard about, where do the penalties go? I mean, it seems, yeah, like it wouldn't hurt if everything was sort of the same. Or and as I said that, I thought, all these people are going to come in and talk about how they're different. But it may be hard to get it together, but once we got it together, I think it would make things go smoother in the,
yes,
future, and then we'd never have to question where does penalties go. They go here. And you always have a biennial and not an annual, because we've done two bills now that,
yeah,
they goofed on doing annual fees and they went to biennial. It was like a little operating manual for these people.
Boilerplate language.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that might be something to include.
I concur with.
Okay, we have no further amendments to this bill. What's the pleasure of the committee?
Mr. Chair, I would move Senate Bill 41 to Ways and Means. Subsequent referral to Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation for the floor.
Okay, Representative Barnes moves Senate Bill 41 to the floor with a due pass recommendation and a subsequent referral to Ways and Means. Further discussion? Clerk will call the roll.
Representative Barnes.
Aye.
Nato.
Aye.
Oakley. Stein.
Aye.
Walden.
Aye.
Reichen.
Aye.
Chair.
Aye. Motion passes. Okay, we're going to,
I think that's all of them now. I think Terry, except for the
Circle 209.
Oh, sorry, Bill, someone.
Okay, we'll open a work, public hearing on Senate Bill 209. Good afternoon.
Hello. Chairman Schoon, members of the committee, I'm Carol G. I'm the vice chair and the public member of the tax board. With me here today is Joyce Thorbeck, our administrator. Senate Bill 209 relates to licensed tax preparers and tax consultants and businesses that provide personal income tax return preparation services. The bill establishes a business registration fee for tax businesses and increases maximum fees that may be charged for exams, late renewals, and duplicate licenses. Before recommending these changes, the board reviewed both its current expenses and its fee structure, primarily because of inflationary increases and raises in fixed costs. Target service levels cannot be maintained in 1991-93 without additional revenues. This is true even though the 91-93 proposed budget was reduced by absorbing extraordinary cost increases and cutting high cost items. In looking at the fees and the services, it was noted that tax businesses must report annually to the board, and a significant part of the board's activities relate to these businesses. However, the cost of these activities is now borne entirely by the individual licensee holder, even though many of them don't operate businesses. And even though we are seeing more and more tax businesses that are owned by people who are not licensed by this board at all, we feel that a business registration fee is more equitable than an increase in the individual licensee fees, because it will more closely tie the cost of providing the services of those who use or who generate the need for these services. The increases in the maximum fees that may be charged for examinations, late renewals, and duplicate licenses are requested to be raised to more closely reflect the actual cost of these services. The board members and staff have discussed these increases through newsletters to licensees and by talking with licensee professional groups and individuals. Licensees have said to us that they want the current activities to continue. They especially approve of our consumer education program, which we launched in 1987. Since that time, we have distributed over 150,000 brochures, had radio, TV, public service messages aired during the tax session, all aimed at boosting public awareness of the tax professional license requirement and the consumer rights under this license law. Another popular program improvement has been that since we got our own computer, we've been able to turn around the time to issue licenses from 10 working days to 24 hours in most cases. In fact, there was one licensee who sent in her renewal, and she got back the next day her license, and she thought she'd made a mistake on her renewal and needed to make some changes. In fact, it was her new renewal. So there is good support among the licensees for the fee increase to avoid cuts in programs. And the feedback is the majority of the licensees support a business registration fee over the alternative of increasing individual licensing fees. This concludes my testimony, and we are happy to answer any of your questions, although I will tell you that I probably will defer mostly to the administrator.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Representative Nader.
Suppose you had a firm of, you know, four tax consultants. Would you need to buy a firm fee and a fee for each individual consultant?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Nader, yes, and each individual consultant would need an individual license. But the firm would only need one firm registration among the four owners.
Well, another question, Mr. Chair.
Go ahead.
Right now, each person's required to get a license, but the firm itself wouldn't need, other than the City of Portland business license or the corporate filing or partnership filing with...
Mr. Chair, Representative, that's correct.
Further questions?
One more question.
Yes, please.
Now, these fees, since we're not, we don't have your whole budget before us and all that, are they solely the funds for your operations and?
Mr. Chair, Representative NATO, yes, we are entirely supported by our examination and license fees and a couple of miscellaneous fees. No general fund money.
Another question. Are these increases needed to fund the service level that you know how?
Yes, Representative NATO, they are. If we are to continue what we're doing right now with no increases or no new stuff, we would still need this fee increase to do it.
Further questions?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Burns.
When was the last time your fees were increased?
Mr. Chair, Representative Burns, they were increased last in 1987, so it will have been 4 years since we last increased fees.
What's your total budget for the biennium?
Mr. Chairman, it's $588,000.
Mm-hmm.
Our budget request for the next biennium.
Let's see, do you have a pie chart that shows us where the funds go?
I'm sorry, where the funds go?
Yes.